Now, last night, Sinn Féin councillors blocked a unionist bid to rename the Newry Play Park, honouring the IRA hunger striker Raymond McCreesh. Council officials said standing orders would have to be suspended for the unionist motion to be discussed in a full council sitting. The proposal to hold a debate was rejected by 15 to 14. Here's what the SDLP leader, Alistair MacDonald, had to say on Good Morning Ulster.
Sinn Féin picking scabs here and trying to take political advantage out of this situation is scandalous. We have got to try and move into a situation where we pull our society together, where we actively promote reconciliation. We're not going to do that by glorying in violence or glorying in the effects of violence. People in the broader communities as well, both unionist and nationalist, are unhappy about the naming of this park. So, quite simply, we moved last night to open it up and have an honest discussion about it, and Sinn Féin and their allies blocked it because basically it suits them for political purposes at the moment.
Well, let's speak to the Newry and Armagh Sinn Féin MP, Conor Murphy. Morning to you, Conor.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, and the UKIP councillor, Henry Riley, who is a member of the Super Council, which includes Newry. Good morning to you, Henry.
Good morning, Stephen.
So, you didn't even let this be debated, Conor?
Well, this has been debated for years now in Newry and Armagh Council. And Alistair MacDonald's point is entirely wrong. The reality is when this park was named by the people of the Ballybod area in 2001, the council, in fact, at that time was controlled by the SDLP and the unions. And the name sat that way for 6 or 7 years without any objection from Henry Riley or Danny Kennedy or any of the SDLP group leaders or councillors at the time for 6 or 7 years until the Orange Order objected. So they had it in their power, if it was such an issue for them, to actually do something about it. And since that period, it has been through 2 Equality Commission processes and I think 3 votes in the council. And at the last council meeting, it was the SDLP who proposed that that meeting have full powers to discuss, debate and decide on the name, and then they didn't show up.
Why are we so frightened of the debate then? Why close it down rather than let it happen?
Because what happens is that you get the party's grandstanding. The SDLP were just about saving face for having made a complete shambles in terms of their approach to it. Obviously, headquarters had whipped their councillors into shape to try and throw some shape, taking an opposition stance to it. And the debate had been had and had ad nauseum, and our councillors had said very clearly, we're doing is reflecting the wishes of the people. Because this play park was named by the people of the area, not by the council initially. The council then went on to support that decision. We're supporting the democratic wishes of the people of the area, which have been expressed now 3 different times. And overwhelmingly wanted to retain the name.
Yeah, but the reason this story is so interesting, beyond the area, beyond the locality, is it surely shines a light, Conor, on Sinn Féin's attitude to unionist sensitivities. That when Sinn Féin knows that something will not only wind unionists up, but will affect them, that will anger them, that will anger genuine people in the community, you not only do it anyway, but you close down the debate around it. That's the light that shone on Sinn Féin this morning.
No, not at all. And let me make 2 points in relation to that. Firstly, in relation to the Equality Commission process, which the council went through twice, a very lengthy process of consultation with the community and discussing this, the Sinn Féin councillors recognised that to retain the name on this did have an adverse impact on the unionist community. They recognised that. They also recognised, which other councillors didn't, and the Equality Commission seemed to have no heed on, is that to remove the name, despite the community expressing that clear wish 3 times, would also have an adverse impact on that community and on community relations as well. And secondly, you say this about Sinn Féin winding people up. The name was taken in 2001 on the 20th anniversary of Raymond McCreesh's death. There were no objections from anyone in the unionist community individually or through the political parties that were representing the council for 6 or 7 years. So there was no indication at that time that this was considered any sort of a problem by unionism at all. It was simply in 2007, 2008, when the Orange Order in Newry decided it was a problem, that suddenly unionism got very exercised about it.
Well, Henry Riley, you can hear Conor's point here. This has been discussed and discussed. It'll be very interesting as a unionist if you're going to object to majority rule now.
Well, Stephen, Conor seems to live in a parallel universe, because back when this was originally discussed in the council chamber, both myself and Danny Kennedy actually opposed it very rigorously. And when it was going to the vote at one of the different committees, Danny and I actually left the meeting and discussed. And since that date, I have raised this issue continuously. And it came to the fore back in 2006, whenever Sinn Féin were agitating in another council in Northern Ireland to get I think it was a plaque to a Polish regiment that served in the British Army in World War II, removed from Banbridge District Council. And it was just the pure hypocrisy of Sinn Féin that highlighted this, and the Orange Order in South Down did put in a complaint.
But Henry, here's the score.
Yeah.
You've got to get real about what Republicans think, right? This is a man who was revered in his own community, who they will feel made the ultimate sacrifice. And they ain't going to wipe out their history for you or anyone else.
We can't wipe out their history, but we can't allow them to rewrite history. What they are trying to imply by naming up a children's play park after what was clearly a terrorist. If you look at the HET reports that are circulating...
They don't see him as a terrorist.
Yes, he was clearly a terrorist. And what further emphasised that point is that whenever the McCreech was caught with weapons, some of those weapons were actually used in the murder of 10 innocent Protestant workmen going home from their work, lined up against a minibus and shot to death. Now, have you seen ISIS or some of these terrorist organisations, a video of that on YouTube, you would be repelled, Stephen. You would say those people are not human. Now, that is the type of person that we have named the children's play park after in Newry. And what we've seen last night was we've seen a very, very crude attempt of censorship by Sinn Féin. In fairness to the SDLP, I have said to the SDLP in the past, you're taking all the stick for this whenever you have no real ability to overturn this decision because you don't have the numbers. And Sinn Féin have very, very skillfully turned this into a very raw...
They've used their democratic mandate.
Well, Stephen, there's if you look at Section 75 of the 98 Act, it clearly says that councils have a responsibility to promote good relations between Catholic and Protestant and people of other faiths or no faiths. Now, does this comply with the legislation that was in place then? Clearly it doesn't. And I think
hold on.
Is far from over, Stephen.
Well, you would support Henry Reilly, wouldn't you? For example, flying the Union flag from buildings, wouldn't you? No matter what nationalists think.
Yes, I do support the Union flag.
Where's the good relations there?
Yeah, flying a flag that was signed up to by the nationalist community in Northern Ireland as part of the Good Friday Agreement, that Northern Ireland is and will remain part of the United Kingdom.
Now, doesn't mean that nationalists want it.
But if Sinn Féin didn't like that, they shouldn't have signed up to the agreement.
It's hardly good for good relations, though, is it? That's my point.
Well,
that you can all fall out with each other and you can all say that you're sensitive to each other.
Stephen, you cannot compare. If somebody came along and said to me, we're going to name a play park after the Shankill Butchers because they were local heroes in the Shankill for a long time, I would be repulsed, I would be repelled, I would say, no, you have to take into consideration the views of the Catholic...
And Conor Murphy, you would be the first to object to that, wouldn't you? If there was any locality, any public space that were to be named after the Shankill Butchers, Sinn Féin would go boogaloo.
Can I make 2 points in relation to that? Firstly, if Henry and Danny Kennedy were so disgusted at the time this happened, and there's no record of that, then they had, and the SDLP were so disgusted, they had a majority in the council between them at the time to do something about it. So why walk out of meetings in disgust when you actually had the numbers to change something and let that then situation sit for 6 years? So their argument doesn't stack up. In relation to the Shankill Butchers or to anyone else, I mean, you like to draw the line, Stephen, in history in about the early 70s sometime, and anybody who was involved in gun running and murder, in mass murder of the nationalist or Catholic or indigenous Irish community before that time, it doesn't matter, that's in history. But the reality is that this place is awash with facilities named after people who are involved in all sorts of activities, which if they happened in the last 30 years, would have branded them in your line and in Henry's line terrorists.
Well, I haven't branded anyone a terrorist.
There are various items named after people who are identified with the unionist community without any objection. Indeed, the two housing estates closest to the play park are named after James Connolly and Michael Mallon, two people who went out in 1916 and were executed by the British for their part in the Rising. So from the SDLP's perspective, those are the good old IRA, but anybody in the last 30, 40 years is the bad IRA. So, you know, if you're going to start to draw a line in history and decide that people pre that line were okay no matter what they did, but people post that, even though it is the same type of activity.
So Connor?
The reality is that this whole nation, both north and south, is full of monuments and things that are named after people who are involved in all those activities.
Do you actually think Raymond McCreech was a role model Connor. If you think about putting a name on a children's play park, then is he a role model for children to aspire to behave like?
Well, he certainly is. I knew Raymond as a child myself, and he was a very admirable character. He's somebody who's regarded as the highest integrity. I bring you back to the remarks that Gerard O'Fee made at the time, that if it hadn't been for the political conditions he grew up in, he never would have seen the inside of a prison.
The highest integrity.
He took a decision to get involved in a conflict in the circumstances he grew up in, and then he had the courage and the conviction to go on hunger strike to the death to prove that he wasn't a criminal prisoner against the full might of the Thatcher government at the time. So for many people in my community, he has an iconic and heroic status.
Is he a role model?
And the people who decided to name the play park after him were the people of that community in Newry, who's in that their community that facility is.
And Connor, you say that for many people in your community, do you think he's a hero?
Oh yes, absolutely. He's always been one of my personal heroes because I had the fortune to know him. I know his family very well. I still live in the same village. I can, where I'm standing now, I can actually see the house that he grew up in. He lives in the same village as me.
Can you see them?
I do, absolutely. I've always regarded him as a hero, and I know the calibre of the person, as I know the calibre of his family. And I know and fully subscribe to the view, like an awful lot of other people, perhaps on
you say you can see, you say, Connor, you can...
The political circumstances he grew up in, Raymond Chris would be living a full and happy and healthy and productive life now.
You see, you say you can see the house he grew up in, you say he's one of your heroes. Can you see the man he tried to kill?
Who did he try to kill?
Well, he was convicted of attempted murder.
He was convicted, he was caught in a shootout with the SAS in the area, as were many people at the time. There was a war going on in this community at that time, Stephen. Yeah. And people feel that the SAS and the parachute regiment who killed people, from a unionist perspective, were very entitled to take up arms and to come into my community and to shoot people.
Conspiracy to murder.
My community feels that others were entitled to take up arms and to resist all that.
And possession of firearms, he was also convicted of, including attempted murder. And you talk, Connor, about the circumstances that people grew up in, as if they didn't have a choice whether to put a gun into their hand.
People did have a choice. I had a choice myself. And we made choices based on the circumstances we grew up in, and others didn't make those choices, and I fully accept that. But I do not deny the right of Raymond O'Krish and others like myself to make their own choices and to stand over them and to defend those choices.
But I guess
others chose a different path.
Let you come back in a second, Henry. But I guess this is where we come to the heart of the matter, Connor, after this has been discussed now for many, many days. Of course, you all made choices, and Raymond O'Krish made a choice. But is it really for the Republican community now to gloat over that choice, to rub it into the noses of unionists and to say we have no regrets? People who tried to murder unionists, there are heroes. Is it really the time and the place in Northern Ireland to do that now?
Well, firstly, there's no attempt to gloat here. And as I say, our councillors in taking the decision fully recognised the decision's adverse impact on members of the unionist community and stated that publicly. And can I say, I walk up the stairs every day in Stormont. I was there yesterday, past a man who brought the gun into Irish politics, someone who formed an illegal organisation, illegally imported weapons, and the consequence of that were the deaths of hundreds, if not thousands, of nationalists and the kicking off of a conflict across this island, which is still to be fully resolved and worked through. And not only is he at the top of the stairs at Stormont every day we walk past, but there's a town, city, in which is the main centre of administration for my area, named after him as well. So
this is Edward Carson's talking about, Henry Reilly, who did lead a revolt.
People have different allegiances, so either we deny the right to anyone to name anything after anyone, or we accept then that people in their own areas have that right and entitlement if they democratically choose to do so.
Thanks for letting me back in, Stephen. It's not Edward Carson, it's James Craig he's talking about. James Craig was a man who negotiated a deal with Michael Collins. The people who Conor Murphy proposed to be the lineage of actually murdered Michael Collins and Bill LeBlanc in 1922, and they had their Civil War politics. We're not talking about that type of history. What we were talking about is the type of person who would have ended up in prison in any case, in a normal society. If you look at the things that Raymond McCreesh was involved in, he would have been.
How can you know that?
He would have most likely ended up in prison. And Stephen, the fact is,
you can't know that.
But Stephen, the fact is that the vast and overwhelming majority of ordinary, decent Catholic men in South Armagh did not lift arms to kill their Protestant neighbours. this wasn't a war of liberation or whatever. It was a horrible, bloody sectarian murder campaign. Conor Murphy talks about the indigenous population. You know, the indigenous population. Does that mean then that Willie Fraser, who Republicans continually make fun of and say, get back to Scotland, Willie, was it okay for this Irish hero to go out and kill the likes of Willie Fraser's father in support of this indigenous population? We need to get away from this Republican mindset. You know, what we've seen last night, if we get back to reality, what we've seen last night was a very raw attempt of Sinn Féin to sectarianise this even further and to suppress and deny debate on it. They tried to censure debate. And the curious thing is, we know that there are Sinn Féiners within Éire an Mórn who are going wobbly on this issue.
Yeah, but you've had umpteen debates, you've had umpteen votes. At some stage, you've got to recognise the democratic process and move on, Henry Reilly. What do you mean, no?
Stephen,
are you a Democrat or not?
But the democratic process in Northern Ireland, because of Section 75 of the 98 Act, which Sinn Féin used very skillfully to mean and humiliate the unionist community in areas where they are in a majority, that clearly states that that type of politics doesn't work. It's not just a numbers game, and that you have to take into consider the views and opinions of the other community. Now, Sinn Féin blatantly refused to do that, and they continue to do their best to humiliate and insult the unionist and Protestant community that suffered so much in Éire an Mórn.
William's in Belfast. Morning, William.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, the logic of the Sinn Féin policy here is that Michael Stone and Billy Wright and I can be honoured. That's the logic, that whether Sinn Féin like it or not. And I deplore that. Michael Stone and Billy Wright are the mirror image of MacRaoch. And that is a fact. Simple thing. Now, and there's things that people are not saying there. We know the gun that he was caught with killed 10 Protestant workers. That is being placed and out there for everybody. So the logic is, open season, Billy Stone and Billy Wright, great men. And nobody would be able to turn around and pin any of the lawless areas that say that. That's the logic of it. And you need to put that to our Sinn Féin representative there.
But you know, William, that Republicans say this was a war with the security forces.
Well, Michael Stone was fighting a war. He took it to Sinn Féin in the cemetery. Weren't they the armed struggle? Michael Stone took it to him. Threw a few grenades at them. That was the right thing to do, according to Sinn Féin.
Let me let Conor Murphy respond to you, William. Stay there.
Stephen, I have to go, so let me...
I have to go now, because...
Well, no, he always had to go, but Conor, one final word from you.
No, I intend to make a response to both people. Firstly, to Henry, in case he tries to misinterpret what I said about the indigenous population. I was going back some time in history to when people like Chichester, who large parts of Belfast are named after, were slaughtering Native Irish along the shores of Loch Ness. And yet they're honoured with people places named after them. And in relation to the other man's point,
you're thinking of 16.
You know, ultimately you could say Craigavon was the same. Craig was the same. He formed the UVF, imported weapons. Those weapons killed many, many people. And yet he is revered in this community. So as I say, the argument of some people is that anything that happened in the last 40 years is bad. But prior to that, no, it was all good. Those people were involved in negotiations. If we can afford to name a town in the north after one of our negotiators, would that be okay, even if they had a previous record of involvement in the conflict? So the reality is, people do recognise, and our councillors did recognise, and stated that they recognise the adverse impact of maintaining the decision that had already been taken democratically by the community in which that facility is. They recognise that, but they also recognise the adverse impact of telling that community, you do not have the democratic right to name anything after someone you want to, even though the rest of the country and Éire itself is full of facilities and towns and streets and other facilities that are named after people who had all sorts of involvement in similar types of conflict.
Okay, Conor, thank you. Henry Reilly, thank you. William, I'll let you respond to that before you go too.
Stephen, it's a disgrace. We're asked for a shared space. I'm a moderate, but see, unionists need to deal with these Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin want it every way. They can't have that. They can't say MacRaoch is a hero and Stone's a nuisance and a terrorist. Well, he's in jail at the moment. 200 letters, it just goes on and on. You had a programme on, which was very silly, about did Protestant areas get out of the peace process. It's not that. It's the fact that it's not an equal peace process. It's not why you've got a job or not. It's one way, Irish, less British. And unionists can't deal with it. They're not articulate enough to deal with it. And probably, I'm a moderate. In actual fact, I voted a land.
You see, you say all that, William, and yet the principle of consent is now enshrined in the agreement, you will hear that the union has never been safer. So you say all of this about it's Irish, 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 and yet is the union really under threat?
It'll be eroded away. And maybe that's a good thing, a natural thing. It may be, will be, that Dublin's the place to go, but it'll be a longer place when the hard faces Sinn Féin keep going at it. If it had been left to Fianna Gael or Fianna Fáil, a softer Irishness, we could achieve more. See that cutting edge in Newry at the moment? What does that do to moderates like me, who are prepared to turn around and think about Ireland and in a European Union and so forth? Which way does it put me? It puts me that people are the pro or stone and right, maybe the war right. You know, if Sinn Féin think that is a way to build, you have Martin McGuinness coming out there the weekend and he's turning around all sweetness and honey tours, and then you go to and you're and you see the Trojan horse, the cutting edge again, the Gerry Adams stuff. It'll not take this country any bit further. It just takes us back. And it's a sad.
George and Glenn Gormley. Morning, George.
Yes, I agree with that last caller. It's putting everybody back, not going forward. And when the threatened Martin McGuinness and other of Sinn Féin, what actually happened then is they condemned it, calling them thugs and terrorists, whatever. And then what is that fella, Martin McCreesh, or Raymond McCreesh, sorry, what is he? He's a terrorist. So why are they not condemning that? And they were all terrorists, good love of them.
Well, is that really helpful, just to label them all terrorists when they feel that they were, they feel, George, they were fighting a war?
Yeah, Stephen. Stephen, a war. What I'm saying is, the Germans was a war. It's forgotten about. But this one, these here, are rubbing it into people's, shoving it down people's throat, and it'll never go away. It'll make the other side bitter. That's what I'm trying to say. Sorry, Tim, it's a war.
You know, George, if you want to take this discussion, this conversation between you and I to its logical end today, define a terrorist. Define a terrorist. There's a phone in for you. Define a terrorist.
I don't know, Stephen, but it's not a one. You know what I mean? What
the French Resistance, were they terrorists?
Sure, well, hold on, Stephen. Sure, you heard that, what do you call him? He just left there. You heard him saying, Conor Murphy. You heard Conor Murphy saying he has to walk past that statue every day. And then you hear people coming on and then saying, you know, it's he's sticking to that there. And then, like, You're dragging it into years and years and going back to the days of James Connolly and, you know, Collins. We're all going forward, backwards.
Let's do that this morning, actually, because we've just brought it up. Define a terrorist.
Yeah.
Wherever you are in the country. Define a terrorist. How do you define a terrorist? 0845 955 678. Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
Morning, Stephen. I'm just thinking back. I was listening to Conor Murphy and the talk of the glorious struggle. So I'll give you my experience. I used to be, for a brief period, as a prison officer years ago. And I was on duty one night in the maze on night duty, and the prison was locked up between two provisional IRA wings, or two Republican wings. And it came on the news. I'd been a part-time policeman before this. It came on the news that 9 civilians, I think it was, had been killed in Lochgall at 9 o'clock, I think it was. And they banged their cell doors and they cheered. They heard on the radios. And I remember thinking, you know, they're not even cheering the death of police officers or soldiers. They're cheering the death of civilians. Because I felt guilty even thinking that. As an ex-police part-timer, I felt guilty I even thought that. But they cheered. Now, they didn't cheer at 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock when they realised who it was that died. But all this talk, that to me, that night, shone a torch on what was the soul of the Provisional IRA and the Republican movement. They didn't care who they killed. They cheered that they killed Republicans. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that.
And Michael Stone wasn't revered by some loyalists?
I don't care if he's revered or not. He was the same as them. He's a terrorist. You ask what's the definition of a terrorist? I think a terrorist is somebody who has got no moral authority for what they're doing. It's as simple as that.
Where does the moral authority come from, Alex?
I read no moral authority.
Where does the moral authority come from?
The moral authority, well, for instance, the French Resistance engaged in a campaign of terrorism against the Nazis.
Was Nelson Mandela a terrorist?
I don't think he was. No, in my view, he wasn't. In my personal view, he wasn't.
Why not?
Because there was no democracy in South Africa. You know, that's why I always felt that it was wrong to have, you know, that's why to see Gerry Adams and Mandela, and people thought they're both the same. They're not. They weren't the same. Mandela, there was no justification for the regime in South Africa. It was a minority rule. That wasn't the case in Northern Ireland. In Northern Ireland, you had elections, you had a mandate, you had freedom of speech to compared to other countries, a massive degree. So they had no moral authority to do what they did. They had no good authority. And that's it, what that, to me, is what makes a terrorist. Somebody who lacks the moral authority of what they're doing. They had no moral authority. Whenever the IRA were at their campaign, Sinn Féin got about 6% of the vote. The vote only went up when they stopped. And yet they talk now as though they spoke for everybody. The evidence doesn't suggest that.
What did you see when you were a prison officer? You must have had some insight.
I didn't see very much. I was there just... I didn't see very much. And I wasn't there that long. But that's the one thing that stuck in my mind.
Do you think the Republicans deserve credit, Alex of Sinn Féin, for the peace process and moving people beyond violence?
I think they do. But how can they glorify somebody who was found with a gun that was used to kill Protestant workmen in a sectarian shooting? It's the same. You know, they weren't beheaded like ISIS do, but the result was the same. They want to, there's a man found with that gun who's an act of terrorist. They want to glorify him, and yet they want to condemn the dissidents. That's the problem. Sinn Féin themselves don't have good authority. Because they want on the one hand to say, oh, we are the good guys back then, but these are the bad boys now. They deserve credit, yes, but they don't deserve to be able to rewrite their history. You talked about what I saw in the prison. What I saw in the prison was, I saw young men on both sides wasting their lives away. That's what I saw in the prison, Stephen. Young men wasting their lives.
But you would agree that some of them would have had normal lives, but for the circumstances they grew up in.
Well, I will tell you, there's men in prison for rape who, if circumstances that night had been different, probably wouldn't have done it. You know, that's life. That's life. But having said that, they weren't compelled to do it. The vast majority of people in Northern Ireland, on both sides of the community, didn't get involved in terrorism. The vast majority. So to say that they were drawn to it by some magnetic force or some morality that they couldn't resist is a complete and utter nonsense. It's a complete and utter nonsense. And if you talk to, I met some ex-guards, and I've asked them about their experiences with trouble. I mean, they lost quite a lot of members too, to post office robberies and that sort of thing. So it wasn't all glorious fights for freedom, for Irish freedom. A lot of people lost their lives in the struggle to relieve a post office of their money and bank robberies. So it's not a glorious struggle. It wasn't a glorious struggle, but in my opinion, the one word summed it up: waste, a waste of life.
Alex, thank you.